Some little time later, Emily was, by an accident too trivial to detail to you in particulars, found out by her parents, who were much overjoyed at the retrieval of her, and who seemed very glad to take for granted, in the lump, everything that the grave and decent Mrs. Cole was pleased to pass upon them. Both these desertions had now so far thinned Mrs. Cole's brood that she was left with only me, like a hen with one chicken. But though she was earnestly entreated to recruit her corps, her growing infirmities determined her to bread up her business and retire with a decent pittance into the country. I had, on my separation from Mrs. Cole, taken a pleasant, convenient house at Marylebone. There, with a reserve of £800, the fruit of my deference to Mrs. Cole's counsels, exclusive of clothes, some jewels and some plate, I saw myself in purse for a long time, to wait without impatience for what the chapter of accidents might produce in my favour. Here, under the new character of a young gentlewoman whose husband was gone to sea, I had marked me out such lines of life and conduct as leaving me at a competent liberty to pursue my views either out of pleasure or fortune, as bounded me nevertheless strictly within the rules of decency and discretion, a disposition in which you cannot escape observing a true pupil of Mrs. Cole. I was scarce, however, well warm in my new abode when going out one morning, accompanied only by a maid, we were alarmed with the noise of a violent coughing. Turning our heads towards which, we distinguished a plain, well-dressed, elderly gentleman, who, attacked with a sudden fit, was so much overcome as to be forced to give way to it, and sit down at the foot of a tree, where he seemed suffocating with the severity of it, being perfectly black in the face. Not less moved than frightened with which, I flew on the instant to his relief, and loosened his cravat, and clapped him on the back. But whether to any purpose, or whether the cough had had its cause, I know not, but the fit immediately went off. And now recovered to his speech and legs, he returned me thanks with as much emphasis as if I had saved his life. This naturally engaging a conversation, he acquainted me where he lived, which was at a considerable distance from where I met him, and where he had strayed insensibly on the same intention of a morning walk. He was, as I afterwards learned in the course of the intimacy which this little accident gave birth to, an old bachelor, turned of 60, but of a fresh, vigorous complexion, insomuch that he scarce marked 45, having never racked his constitution by permitting his desires to overtax his ability. With this gentleman, then, who took me home soon after our acquaintance commenced, I lived near 8 months, in which time my constant complaisance and docility, my attention to deserve his confidence and love, and a conduct in general devoid of the least art, and founded on my sincere regard and esteem for him, won and attached him so firmly to me that after having generously trusted me with a genteel, independent settlement, proceeding to heap marks of affection on me, he appointed me, by an authentic will, his sole heiress and executrix. A disposition which he did not outlive 2 months, being taken from me by a violent cold that he contracted, as he unadvisedly ran to the window, on an alarm of fire at some street's distance, and stood there, naked-breasted, and exposed to the fatal impressions of a damp night air. After acquitting myself of my duty towards my deceased benefactor, and paying him a tribute of unfeigned sorrow, which a little time changed into a most tender, grateful memory of him that I shall ever retain, I grew somewhat comforted by the prospect that now opened to me, if not of happiness, at least of affluence and independence.